All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break.
This is Geek Stuff, episode 19er.
There and back again.
There and back again.
Welcome back, Kev.
Thank you.
It's good to have you in studio where you belong.
In the heat.
Where you belong.
Right
sweltering
in
with the rest of us.
Thick of it, and I mean the air.
Exactly.
So, California was interesting.
Yeah?
130,000 people over 5 days.
It's pretty crazy.
Wednesday was like a Friday.
That's insane.
That is insane. It was really nuts.
Nah.
A lot of good came out of it, though.
Yeah, it sounded like it. I read a lot about it, and you know, we'll talk about it some more.
Yeah, and I got so much stuff. Hello.
Yeah, I know. I saw the four or five UPS boxes
that
came in.
Yeah.
Big enough to stuff humans in.
It's one right over there.
I know. I can see it. Loaded with crap still that hasn't been unpacked.
And Toy Mike drove out to Chicago without coming here first. He just called me.
Bastard.
I'm so pissed at him.
You should be. And there's all that good stuff, too, that he could have gotten rid of.
He could have gotten rid of it. I even picked him up extra stuff, like these adorable Marvel icons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Sin City Marv, Captain America, right?
Yeah. We'll we'll talk about those later.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what's going on?
Not much. I don't even know where to start. So much.
Well, so I heard your show.
Oh yeah, what'd you think about it?
It was interesting.
I thought it went pretty well.
I was fortunate enough to get to edit it.
Oh sure.
And I have to say, it wasn't a great chore to edit most of it.
Excellent.
Most of it was very smooth.
Did you like how lucky Ken and Mr. Fantastic laid into me the entire segment, pretty much?
I don't think they did a really good enough job.
Of course
really
not.
But you know, it's not everyone's gift.
It was par for the course.
What's that?
It was par for the course. Matt bashing.
Yeah,
slightly under par for the course, but all right.
It was nice to have a little bit of time off, like a little bit, just like this much.
Half an episode. 30 minutes.
That's all.
About. That's it. All right, well, why don't we get right into what's going on?
Okay.
So some movies coming out that I know you'll probably be pretty excited about, or that, I shouldn't say coming out, but have been announced and are in the works, at least. Dead Man, Doom Patrol, and The Spirit, to name three of them.
I don't believe in any of those projects.
You don't look excited at all.
No?
Except The Spirit. I know for a fact that The Spirit movie is being done.
Well, it's Frank Miller. I mean, and I think Frank Miller got a little bit of the directing bug after
What's Frank Miller?
He's directing it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. Frank Miller's directing it. And like I said, I think he got a little bit of the directing bug in him after working on the first Sin City with Mr. Rodriguez. And this is going to be his solo project for him.
Huh.
And so why don't you believe in Dead Man or Doom Patrol?
I just don't.
Well,
I don't believe it'll happen.
Guillermo del Toro is working on Dead Man. At the very least, he's producing. But he said that he'd like to direct if the opportunity presents itself. Of course, he's got Hellboy 2 in the works first.
Yes.
So he's going to have to get through that. But I don't know. Nothing?
No.
I thought you were a big Dead Man fan. I thought you'd be excited.
You know what? Not only am I a big Dead Man fan, I happen to also be a very big Doom Patrol fan. And as you may remember from last week, was lucky enough to be on the plane with Arnold Drake and...
Right.
I think it's Luis Dominguez, mm-hmm. the guys who created both Deadman and Doom Patrol.
Okay.
I hope I'm right about that. I think I am. And I don't see either one of them really transferring very well. The Doom Patrol, for those of you that don't know, was DC's answer to the X-Men.
Right.
And their leader was a wheelchair-bound fellow. And, you know, they really did sort of look the part, more or less. And that was their answer. Because back in the 60s, you know, Marvel and DC were going tit for tat on projects.
Right.
60s and early 70s, where, you know, X-Men would see copy by the Doom Patrol. And in the reverse, Marvel would then copy the JLA, the Justice League, with the Squadron Supreme.
Okay.
Who are all direct character rips of
right
DC's characters. So, yeah. As far as movies go, I don't see it.
No.
But I have a terrible bit of exciting news.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't
sound promising.
And terrible, I mean good.
Okay. Well, that's good.
We are going to be treated in, I believe it's October...
Okay.
The Absolute Sandman Volume 1.
Wow. Yes, finally. Like that.
An oversized version of, I guess it's the first story arc.
Okay.
Of Sandman. And it's going to be the first of four meticulously designed volumes reprinting the entire run of Neil Gaiman's series.
Oh, well, then it's got to be more than the first story arc. I mean, there was something
Right. It's actually going to be the first 20 issues of the series.
Okay.
And the first 18 will be totally recolored using state-of-the-art technology.
Mm.
No, yes. And I've seen examples of this. And okay. It is fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, really night and day.
It's not toying too much with the original.
No.
Because, you know, the Sandman issues, the early Sandman issues, while the coloring was not amazing as compared to some of the stuff that's out right now,
right.
It kind of had a nostalgic feel to it. And I kind of, in my personal opinion, I think that kind of lent itself to the story.
Well, now listen, Neil is overseeing this himself.
Okay.
And
well, I have faith in Neil.
If it's going to screw anything up, mm-hmm. Neil, I don't think, would allow it.
Okay.
So in addition to that, there's also going to be, within the book, there's going to be never-before-seen material, including the complete original Sandman proposal, character designs, and all sorts of crazy, crazy stuff that... they're going to include in there.
Well, look, Sandman of all the Vertigo books out there definitely has been long overdue for this type of treatment. In general, Sandman has been long overdue for this type of treatment. And I'm glad to see that it's finally being done. It's comforting to know that Neil Gaiman is overseeing any upgrades or changes to it. Because I have, you know, again, I have faith in Neil Gaiman.
So. And it's great, too, because Neil... has a lot of projects going on right now, and we're going to find out about that in the next segment.
Right.
Where I was part of a roundtable interview with Neil.
Excellent.
And we'll hear more about that, obviously, in the next segment.
Awesome. Well, let's move on then to some more movie-related news. Kind of ties into what some of the stuff I was talking about earlier as far as Hellboy 2 is concerned. Only because we're going to talk about Doug Jones, who, if you don't know, Doug Jones was the actor that actually portrayed Abe Sapien in the original Hellboy movie. Although, he didn't do the voice.
No, he did not.
For Abe Sapien. I found out. I didn't realize that.
Oh, you didn't know that was, what's his name? Frasier's brother?
You idiot.
Oh, no. You know what? Now that you say it, I piece it together, but I didn't realize it originally.
I think it was.
David Hyde Pierce?
Yeah, David Hyde Pierce, I think.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Fantastic could probably IMDb
Sure.
Hellboy and check that and out find for out. Us.
Well, needless to say, Doug Jones is looks like he is currently going to be the person that will be the human representation of the Silver Surfer in the second Fantastic Four film.
Really?
He is going to be in the CG bodysuit. Right. That eventually they will go over with full CG.
Right.
Although he won't officially announce it yet, and it hasn't officially been announced yet by Marvel, it looks like he definitely is the front runner. He is very excited about it. He seems to know a lot about the character. He says he has like the first full collected 18 volumes of the character, which I didn't even know there was out there, so I don't know how he has it. But
well, I mean, he could have just the issues.
Yeah, it could be. It could be he has runs, which
right.
is crazy if he does. Good for him.
Just seems like every other year there's a new volume of
yeah.
Silver Surfer that comes and fails.
Right.
So,
but he's hoping that he gets to that he gets to actually use his own voice maybe this time around.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking probably not.
Probably not.
No. Well, he's a body guy.
We'll see.
So that's like Ray Park.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray Park hoping to get, you know, hoping he gets to use his own voice in projects.
Well, he did in
X-Men. In X-Men.
He did in X-Men.
Yeah,
as Toad.
Yeah, but not in Star Wars.
Right.
Because else it would have been like, we should wipe them all out.
Yeah, exactly. It just wouldn't have worked.
That's my Ray Park impression. I'm working.
That's pretty
on
good.
That. Yeah,
it's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, while Doug Jones has not been confirmed for the role of Silver Surfer. Somebody else has been confirmed for another role. We kind of touched upon this last week,
yeah.
But I'm dying to talk about this.
I heard
since
about
it's been
this.
Confirmed, and you are here now. Heath Ledger, Joker.
Yeah,
the next
actually,
Batman film, The Dark Knight.
Oh, in my wow. in my panic and fear, I actually got a very high contact up on that today and found out that looks indeed to be the case.
Yeah.
The
official announcement was made.
You believe in it?
Yeah, I believe in it. The source is the source is high enough that you have to believe it.
What I have hard
well,
to believe.
Yeah,
I am completely and utterly depressed.
Yeah.
You go online right now and you Google Heath Ledger. You will find one picture, the picture that actually appeared on Geek Stuff last week of him smiling. That is the only picture that you will find of him smiling.
Well, I'm going to say this again, even though last week it led to me getting bashed for about 10 minutes. But...
Yeah, I know. You love Heath Ledger.
No, I don't love Heath Ledger. I think I've liked him in one movie, and that was The 10 Things I Hate About
Broke
You.
Brokeback.
Yeah, no. I think that he could pull it, the physical appearance portion of it, I think he could pull off.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he has the acting chops to take on a role as complicated as the Joker. That's where my concern is. It's not really his look. It's his acting ability.
I just don't like it all around that it's going to be one of those things that I'm going to be wishing for Jack Nicholson, which, you know, it's kind of like when Jack Nicholson, and you heard Jack Nicholson was going to do it, you were kind of like, oh, well, that could go either way.
Right.
It turns out it was okay. I mean, it wasn't the greatest representation.
Sure.
And neither was Cesar Romero. And
right.
neither, I mean, when Boner did it in the short film.
Now that
was pretty
dead
good.
End.
Dead
that
end.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really good. That'd be Boner from Growing Pains.
Yes.
Right? Did it. And that was pretty good. That's really, really close. And I was very happy with that. But I just don't see Heath Ledger being that character, which could mean maybe they're going to do something else with him, which terrifies me. You know, right now we have the cartoon out right now called The Batman.
Right.
Which is a bit more of an anime feel to it.
Right.
And all the characters have been redesigned. And the redesigns are really cool.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. I really dig them. Especially that Marilyn Manson.
Oh, the Riddler?
Riddler.
Nice.
Fantastic. But the Joker has been redesigned as sort of this kind of this Rasta thug with green dreads, sort of.
He kind of almost reminds me of a theme park character.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in the suit.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, and while it's disconcerting when you first see it, it's kind of like, okay, when taken in context of the rest of these characters and redesigns, it's not so bad. And so I'm hoping that I'll have that feeling when taken in context of the Christian Bale Batman, when taken in context of that universe, maybe it won't be so bad. And I'm really, really trying very hard to believe that, even right. though sitting here right now, I don't at all. Wow. I'm very, very upset about that.
Well, since that has now been confirmed, right?
What are you going
to
tell me now?
It's time to move on to the next rumor that's surrounding the film. And some people would
let
say
me guess.
It's confirmed.
Let me guess. Robin Williams is going to reprise the role of the Rocketeer.
No.
I mean, so I can jump clear out the window with a rope around my neck.
No, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is that there is a bit of hubbub floating around out there that the Penguin is going to make an appearance in the film as well.
I haven't heard that.
I've heard it actually. I've read it two different places now. The reports being a little different each place. It looks like that's the talk, that he's going to be in there as some sort of like arms dealer, and he's going to have a role, whether it's minor or major at this point. I don't know.
First I heard of it, probably a bad internet rumor. Because the way I'm hearing it is that they know what their mistakes are in the past, and they do not want to repeat them.
Well, which mistakes are we talking about?
Multiple villains.
But they had multiple villains in the first one.
Did they?
They had Ra's al Ghul, and they had the Scarecrow.
Well, yeah.
And it worked.
But
the way it was handled,
but
it
really,
worked.
But who was the major villain in there? That was Ra's al Ghul. I mean, Scarecrow was kind of, it's kind of the Mysterio
okay,
of
but
the
see,
Batman
But here's
movie.
The thing, though. If it's treated as Joker would be the major villain, and maybe the Penguin has some sort of minor role in there somehow.
Okay, it could work.
It could work.
It could work, I guess.
I don't know how true it is, or like I said, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but that's the scuttlebutt, as it was.
Mm. It's all about the levels. If you have one big guy and one little, in terms of villains, one big villain, one little villain, they can be in the movie at the same time and not step on each other. It's not like having Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze and the Riddler. It's like a costume party. It just gets ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, when and Batman and Robin was certainly the biggest example of that going horribly wrong.
Yeah, way too many people.
I don't want to make you any more depressed than you already are. So let's skip that.
Yeah, I'm not depressed about that movie. I'm glad that movie happened. They nipped that crap universe in the butt.
It's true.
No, well, I was happy about that.
I've got one more thing.
Okay.
That.
I got one little one before
okay, well,
you
why
do
you
that.
Go ahead.
Okay. Just a little announcement. And this is coming out of San Diego, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Two things from DC Direct that we should all be looking forward to is it would be Elseworlds Series 3 action figures.
Right.
Now, what Elseworlds is when DC writes a book. About a character that takes place in a different universe. So, for example, some of the more popular ones, Gotham by Gaslight, where it's basically the Batman of the late 19th century, mm-hmm. and things of that nature.
Right.
They do consider Kingdom Come an Elseworlds book, although I do not.
Okay.
They do consider that an Elseworlds book. So what we have coming up in Series 3, which I think is excellent, it's Elseworld's Finest Supergirl, Elseworld's Finest Batgirl, and Elseworld's Finest would be a book in which these characters appeared.
Right.
Then we have Red Sun, Green Lantern, which is there was a book called Red Sun where it was kind of a different take on all of the major super players. And in the series one or two, they've actually had a few of those
mm-hmm.
Come out. And I'm happy to see that Green Lantern has made the cut for Series 3. And something I'm very happy about, Kingdom Come Nightstar and Kingdom Come Aquaman. Now, here's the thing with this. With the Kingdom Come figures specifically, my understanding is that they are going to be in Kingdom Come packaging. So here's the news.
Okay.
Is that is a brilliant, brilliant move on DC Direct's part. Because basically, you have a large contingent, including myself, who view the Kingdom Come figures as a line that is best presented in their original packaging.
Okay.
And having said that, we really wanted to see more Kingdom Come figures come out. And since they would not or could not, let's say could not justify doing an entire run,
mm-hmm.
but they can justify doing it as part of another line where they're doing these other Elseworlds characters.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, if the packaging remains consistent, there should be at least one to two Kingdom Come characters in every one of these.
Just
lines.
Pepper them in there.
It's fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic news. And I've seen the figures. I saw them in San Diego. They are brilliant as the ones that have come before them. Even more so. I'm telling you, I don't know what they are feeding these kids over at DC Direct. I mean, they got these guys locked in a room and they're sculpting their little brains out. I can't even begin to tell you the stuff that I saw. I mean, you're going to die when you see it. It's incredible stuff. Incredible. Marvel, on the other hand, and Hasbro, they should wish to hope to have the sculpting quality. And especially seeing those first two Hasbro lines, they should wish they had the sculpting quality of the guys at DC Direct. I don't know what, I say again, I don't know what George Brewer is feeding these kids. And I hope it's 20s and 50s, because whatever he has to do to keep those kids over there, he can't let them go.
Right.
He can't let them
go. Yeah, they are exquisite pieces, what they put out.
Exquisite. And when you compare them to the caca that is coming to us via Hasbro and Marvel.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I mean, if you really get down to the nitty gritty of it, it really is like night and day.
Sure.
Sure, the DC Direct doesn't have all the articulation of a Marvel Legends, but you know what? Gives a shit.
Right.
Would you agree that the second wave out of Hasbro is an improvement from the first
no.
wave? No, I saw them today in toy review. The
no.
right there, and I thought the second wave doesn't look too bad.
Oh no,
I only saw from one angle.
Oh no, but... no, no, no. I certainly would not. Fantastic is referring, of course, to Lee's toy review issue 166. Mm-hmm. You'll find
with the sideshow sixth scale Jabba the Hutt.
Which you know what the sixth scale is? Jabba the Hutt is
what?
That's 12-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed that to us. He's coming in. Well, we'll get maybe yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But
made him all excited.
I can talk. Oh, because you had to see it. You had to see it. I mean, it's a 12-inch Jabba the Hutt playset. Like, imagine the playset that the Kenner 3 3/4 playset. Remember how cool that was?
That was cool.
Like, it's okay, slid. Now imagine it. Now imagine it as a playset for 12-inch.
It's huge.
It's this. I mean, the platform is this big. He's going to be, well, we're talking about it now. He's going to be done in vinyl.
Right.
And there's going to be, you buy him.
Right.
And then you buy the plat. These are going to be all separate.
Right.
Then you buy the platform. And then you buy the creature pack, which comes with Salacious
Crumb.
Crumb and maybe one of those toad guys. Cool. It might come with the bubble pipe. Also might be part of that group. Maybe, or maybe the bubble pipe comes in, I'm not sure. But whatever it is, when put it all together, they had a Bib Fortuna there also, who they must be working on.
Yeah, he's in there.
Unbelievable.
So you got Hasbro doing both of these things, right? They own both the licenses?
No. That's Sideshow, my friend.
Oh, that's a Sideshow thing?
Oh, yeah. Hasbro's no longer producing 12-inch Star Wars.
I see.
Only Hasbro.
When's the Slave Leia figure coming?
Not soon enough for you, right?
No.
Sweetie?
That's right.
So what about wave one and two of Hasbro's Legends?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at them. We're looking at them right now in the book. What was it you'd like to know?
I thought two was better than one, and you
said
no.
Not a chance. No? Not a chance, and here's why. Ready?
Ready.
Let's boil it down, all right? First of all, we have in series one, we have Demigoblin, who I don't think we knew about when we first reported on this because he was a late addition. Who is Demigoblin? Do you know who Demigoblin is?
Only the character design. I don't know anything about the story.
Okay, basically it's a demon version of the Hobgoblin. What was that? Inferno?
Yeah.
Is that the storyline where he was created? Okay, and I don't even think that character is around anymore.
No, he was a Web of Spider-Man character. That's the book that he appeared in, and I think they killed him off or got rid of him a long time ago, but he is a legend in that status.
Without going into the history of every character. Banshee, we talked about this. Banshee, cool.
That's line one.
White Queen.
One, right.
Border. Very cool and a classic character, but I still think other people probably needed to happen first. Annihilus as the Build-A-Figure, fine idea. I don't like the Annihilus figure at all, though.
Right, right.
I mean, he looks awful. Mm-hmm. Then you have Ultimate Iron Man, which is yet another Iron Man.
Right, which we don't need.
Which we don't need, because this would be, I'm guessing here, but I think this is somewhere around six
or
seven.
It's got to be six or seven.
Hercules, who is perfect.
Yep.
In fact, not only is he a perfect character choice, he actually looks really good.
Yep.
Then you have Ghost Rider with the cycle, the movie version.
Right.
Which is pointless for them to do Marvel Legend of, because guess what?
They're doing
There's a
line.
Whole Ghost Rider line with like nine figures in it.
Yep.
Coming out.
I'm not disagreeing with any of this. I think these look pretty crappy. I think the Iron Man looks particularly crappy.
You know why the Iron Man looks crappy?
Why?
Because it's a figure they've already done and they just cut it up for articulation. It was already done in the Marvel Select line. This is the same figure, just cut for articulation.
So you're telling me it's Series 1 and they're already doing that? They're already cutting things up like they do with, say, modern-day G.I. Joes?
Right.
That every once in a while they insert like old parts and arms and torsos and things in there?
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. Diamond Comics, who distributes Marvel Comics and Marvel products, has a Marvel line called Marvel Select.
Marvel Select.
And they are basically figures in this scale. They claim initially they were saying that the reason they were doing this was to do characters that wouldn't be more mainstream. So they did Thanos, they did a Watcher, who mm-hmm. was awesome. That's one of the best pieces they've done. But, of course, they also did two or three Wolverines, they did White Queen already, they did a White Queen, right? Punisher, Spider-Man. Most of which were just generally display pieces, including Ultimate Iron Man, which this is cut for articulation to be a legend.
I would almost not believe you were you not a big geek.
I'm telling you.
Were you not who you
are? We got the Beast from X3, who looks nothing like the Beast from X3.
Which I hated to begin with, so I don't even want to figure that.
Right, so we don't need a Ghost Rider movie Marvel Legend, because he has his own fucking line.
Movie figures suck in my mind to begin
with.
No.
They're going the wrong way. They're going this way instead of going this way. Where is Bullseye? Where is, God help us, a Jennifer Garner Elektra toy?
Yeah.
In red and black. That is the variant. Here, I'm going to put it in the palm of your hand. It's Jennifer Garner Elektra in black. The red one is the variant. I mean, it's done. You know, like, there it is. Go sculpt it. That would be the first thing I would do. All right.
Well,
but
let's move into wave two.
She-Hulk.
Right.
The She-Hulk figure is the She-Hulk Marvel Select figure cut for articulation. In fact, the one they're showing in here... Well, I thought it was her, but it isn't. It's the same figure they've already done, cut with new articulation. I guarantee you, I can go pull her right now and hold her up against this, and you would faint from the shock that that's all they're doing. Let's move on. Quicksilver. Look at his big, giant head.
That does look... That was sticking out there immediately as soon as I saw it, and I...
Awful.
Like I said, I'm reading some books with Quicksilver in it, and I was like,
right.
That sucks.
Right. Yellow Jacket. Great choice.
Sure.
Yellow Jacket, classic character, is now making a resurgence in Marvel Comics. But guess what? Yellow Jacket is one of those giant characters. Why isn't Yellow Jacket the Build-A-Figure here? It's Blob, by the way, which they do not show a picture of. Why isn't Yellow Jacket the Build-A-Figure here? And for that matter, why isn't Black Goliath the Build-A-Figure here? And the other giant man. And you know, like, there's a lot of Build-A-Figures that they should be doing, and they're scaling them down into regular size character or near regular size characters like the Blob and Annihilus.
Right.
You know? Meanwhile, there is a group of what you want to call, I guess, super sized characters who really need
Fin Fang Foom Build-A-Figure.
That would be an awesome Build-A-Figure.
I know.
Awesome. I mean, you'd need like, maybe that would be like two waves of Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you'd take it in a half a heartbeat. All right, let's move on. Thor.
Again. Is it regular Thor?
You know what? That to me looks like late edition Thor.
Okay.
So this would be
like big beard.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And the armor.
Longer hair.
Yeah. And the war armor. That's what it is. Okay. They're just calling him Thor. Guess what? They just had Thor in the Walmart line.
Yeah.
There was another Thor, and he was for all intents and purposes, identical to the Thor that they've already done in Marvel Legends.
Quick question about that Thor.
Yeah.
In that picture, he's like 2.5-3 heads bigger than the people in front of him.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, scale-wise, that's right.
That's right, scale-wise.
So he's big.
A god.
He's big. Yeah. He's a big dude. Right. Yeah. But again, if you need to do a character from that line, how about Beta Ray Bill? The other Thor.
I got to say something about Beta Ray Bill. Yeah. I just found my old Beta Ray Bill figure. Got the hammer.
Yeah.
Got the cape. Got everything.
One of the best figures they've ever done.
Put it on a chessboard. It was from the Silver Surfer line,
yeah.
I think.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
It's fantastic. They cut him up for articulation. He could easily be a Marvel legend.
Sure.
All right, let's move on. Guess what's next? Ultimate Wolverine.
Because we need another Wolverine character.
Because
a Diamond Select figure also. Marvel Select figure was Ultimate Wolverine. Didn't they do one?
I don't know that they did. Yeah, they did.
They did the Origins Wolverine.
But it didn't
also.
Look like this.
Oh, okay.
The Origin Wolverine is one of the best ones that they've done.
Yeah.
So I won't knock that. Like, I will knock this because, A, he looks like garbage. And B, apparently it goes something along the lines of, well, Hulk and Iron Man aren't in the line, so Wolverine must be. That's kind of what, I mean, it seems to me that's what they're doing. Jean Grey from X3. Okay, again, they've already done Jean Grey from the movies. They did her in the X suit. They did two different versions of her in the
Phoenix
first line.
Version.
Yeah, I know. I understand why they're doing it, yet there are other characters that they have not done.
Sure. No, I understand. I agree.
And they pick this one to do.
Kev,
and
there needs to be a PMS Jean Grey in that line. That's what that figure is.
PMS dream.
Yeah, look at the face and the she's just pissed off.
Yeah, well she's up. Yeah, well she crazy.
Yeah,
this Jean Grey is crazy. I'm actually
sitting next to Bad Taco Superman. He's got a couple.
Yeah, I know. I don't know about. I don't know whether you know where I sit on the fence regarding this.
Right.
Whether I don't need it all together like I feel about the Beast. Or whether I understand why they did it. I mean, I guess I do. Yet, they didn't do a Kitty Pryde figure. They didn't do a Colossus movie figure. I mean, there were other characters that could easily have been done. Why this one, I don't know.
Sure.
And finally, rounding out, with the exception of the Build-A-Figure, which is Blob, rounding out Hasbro Legends Wave 2 is Zorn. Now, for the uninitiated, Magneto goes missing, is presumed dead.
Mm-hmm.
This cat shows up, Zorn, right, who is wearing this metal mask, and the way they're describing the character is he has the power of a star within him.
Within his mask.
Yeah. Within his, yeah, contained.
Does that Zorn figure come with the mask?
No.
Because all the pictures I've seen of it don't have the mask.
It's there.
Okay.
I think it's a separate head. I don't think it's a mask that fits over Magneto's head because Zorn is Magneto.
Okay, I just want to say, though, I liked Zorn as a character.
Before you knew it was Magneto.
You know what? No, I didn't terribly mind it as Magneto. But even as a character design, I really liked him. I don't mind a figure of him being made. I don't know if that's the appropriate venue for that figure. But the problem is there are no really good-selling X-Men lines anymore for the most part. So where are you going to put him?
I don't say that he necessarily shouldn't be in here.
Right.
But it's a character that no longer exists.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Isn't that the definition of a legend?
I was going to say, that almost makes him a legend, though.
But, all right. Well, yeah, but no.
Yeah, I think so.
No. When you have 40 years worth of canon and characters that you can pick from, picking an obscure character that wasn't around for an entire... I don't even think Zorn was around for a year, was it?
Maybe.
Let's say a year for argument's sake. Picking a character who is basically the disguise of another character and that was only around for a year and yet there's still no, I don't know, pick anybody. I'm just thinking, there's no Baron Zemo. I mean, there's no...
That's a good one.
There's no... yeah, exactly. I mean, I can chalk off 40 of them for you right now. There's no... What's his name?
Has there been a Mandarin figure
Thunderheart.
Yet?
Thunderheart. There's no Thunderheart.
Where's Longshot?
Yeah, Longshot. Yeah, there you go. Thank you for saving me. I mean, Longshot is a pivotal character in the X-Men story, yet there's no Longshot figure ever been made. Mojo's coming out first.
Which is... baffling.
Bizarre.
But he's a Build-A-Figure, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a Build-A-Figure. Is Longshot in that line?
I don't know.
I wonder if we're just forgetting.
Maybe.
But the point is that there are a ton of characters that should be done before this.
I want a Maggot figure.
Yeah.
And a strong guy figure.
But again, Maggot falls right in this character. Right under this.
Yeah, I don't care. I still want one.
Well, I still want one too, but it falls right under the same. Maggot falls under the same category as
Zorn. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like really classic characters that just haven't been done. Crimson Dynamo.
Right.
You know, like never been done. Never been done as a Marvel legend, is a key character in the Iron Man saga. They just did Mandarin, so I can't say Mandarin anymore.
Have they done a Lady Deathstrike figure yet in that line?
They did. Actually, she was in Walmart. Was she in the Walmart line?
Oh, she was
line?
In the Walmart line?
I can't remember. I think she was.
But anyway.
Yeah, but anyway. The point is that this is par for the course for Marvel Legends under the tutelage and all-knowing eye of Jesse Falcon. And it's just going to continue to be this way. And more guys are quitting because of this. You know, more guys are quitting Marvel Legends because of this.
It is what it is, you know?
Well, it is what it is. It doesn't have to be this way.
No, I know. I'm just saying, though, at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they could do Marvel movies. Marvel movies action figure line.
Yeah.
Done. You know? You know, I mean, where is the intelligence in putting out a Ghost Rider Marvel Legends figure, which, by the way, would be the third Ghost Rider Marvel Legends figure. Where is the intelligence in putting out Ghost Rider movie version when you have a Ghost Rider line coming out?
I agree.
There's no intelligence to it.
It's dumb.
And that slot could have, and with all that plastic, because of course he comes with the bike, with all of that plastic, you could have easily done another really cool figure. You could have done, you know what you could have done? You could have done X-Babies.
Yeah.
All of them in one pack. Done.
Done.
That's a little bit too innovative.
Well, yeah. Well, God forbid. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
That's...
Let it go.
Is that it?
That's it. My rant is over.
Let it go.
All right.
I don't even know how we got into that.
It's Mr. Fantastic's fault. I think he asked you what you thought about the second line and if you thought it was better than the first. So blame him.
Well, he's really for a leading. While. I know what gets him going. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
really leading he's us
throwing,
today.
Throwing little jabs in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's all right.
Good thing I'm well rested.
Exactly.
You are. I like your energy.
Do you? All right. That kind of, I guess that kind of wraps us up here. We've gone on long enough about the news.
I'd like to go and get a cold drink.
Yes.
Perhaps take a minute to actually breathe some cool air.
Perhaps two cold drinks.
I'm going to have myself a shower.
And then we'll come back and we'll hit upon some new stuff.
Matt, is there a better online resource for action figure news and information than action-figure.com?
No. Actionfigure.com is the premier website.
Whoa, slow down. It's action-figure.com, Matt.
I'm sorry? Action-figure.com is the premier website for all your toy news, reviews, photos, and it's updated daily.
They have a great staff over there. They're great writers. They know what they're talking about. They answer questions that you want to have answered.
You aren't going to find a better source for action figure information on the web.
That's right. So point your internet browser to www.action-figure.com and go there today.
We'll be right back.
My favorite part of the show every week.
What's that?
Your little musical bits there.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we getting into now?
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
My catchphrase is eek.
Eek.
Yes. Look for your eek, your Big Kev's Geek Stuff eek t-shirts coming soon to the website.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Eek.
Right.
So, so what we're going to play now, obviously, is one of the bits of gold that I have managed to smuggle back to the studio here from the great International Comic Con in San Diego.
Nice.
And this is actually a roundtable discussion that I was part of with one Neil Gaiman.
Ooh, excellent.
And so that's very exciting. The questioners are a lot like us.
Okay.
So you're going to hear a variety of questions on different topics. Of course, I went right for the give us the lowdown.
On Miracle Man?
On Miracle Man.
Right.
And but he talks about a variety of things. I think it's actually very enjoyable.
Okay. Let's hear.
Little insight about Neil and what he's doing and what he's got coming up and stuff like that there.
So let's take a listen.
Where were you born, Neil? What got you into writing?
I was born in 1960, 45 years ago, in Porchester, which is a little English town on the south coast. And what got me into writing? I think I always wanted to be a writer, although it took me a while to figure that out. When I was 10 years old, when the other kids were having the fantasies about being the greatest footballer in the world, my fantasies at that point were about having a copy of Lord of the Rings and somehow slipping into a parallel universe in which it had never been written and getting it published under my name and being the person who'd written. But I couldn't actually face the idea of having to sit and type a whole novel, so I had to have a copy with me that I was then going to get an adult to retype. And then I'd have to think about, well, do I murder the adult or not? It would all get very nasty. But no, I had, you know, my fantasies were writer sort of fantasies. That was what I loved the idea of doing and loved the idea of being. And I was lucky enough to be, you know, I wound up a journalist by the age of 22. I was working as a freelance journalist in London. I wrote a couple of non-fiction books, I published a few short stories, and then one day I turned around and I stumbled into comics and never really looked back.
Do you have any favorites? Is there something that you wrote that is always with you?
Oh, it's really hard. I'm very fond of my last novel, Anansi Boys. I don't know that it's a favorite, but it just was a lot like what I wanted it to be. And the same with Stardust, actually. It's the books I think you're fondest of as an author are the ones that are closest to the thing that was in your head when you sat down to start writing. Which doesn't necessarily mean they're your best. You know, I mean, American Gods has won more awards than anything else I've done, but I just look at it and go, well, it's so big and strange and lumpy and it took so long to write. Whereas something like Stardust, it's small and it's elegant. Very fond of Coraline, my children's novel, which is a really, really creepy novel for strange little girls of all ages and genders.
Will you be returning to the Stardust universe? Because that's one thing that really got me. I read the last book, there's no more. And I was,
oddly enough, the Stardust itself is the prequel to a novel that I've not yet written called War, which is set about 130 years after the events in Stardust. And I really do plan to write that before I die. There's a story set in the Stardust world or with those characters, set about 5 years after the main events of the novel, which I promised Charles that I will write just so that he can illustrate it, in which Tristan gets to go to hell in a hot air balloon.
When you two worked together,
Oh, we're more than agree. I wind up writing stuff because I want to see what he'll do with it, which is, you know, a lot of the things in Stardust that I look at, and I try and reconstruct why did I put that in. The only reason I can come up with is because wouldn't it be cool to see Charles draw? In fact, I actually found my original handwritten book of Stardust the other day. I pulled it out, the one that I wrote the whole thing in. And see what you mean about the handwriting.
Yeah. Bugs on your handwriting?
And I photocopied the first chapter of Stardust for him, sent it to him. And the next time I saw him, he said, on page one, there were three words I could read. And so after that, we wound up taping.
He had sent it to me. We were going to be here at this convention, and I was going to read it on the airplane. And I started reading and started circling words, and as I went, there were that I couldn't understand. It got to be more circles than not circles. I went, okay, that's it. Can't do this.
So after that, before I typed them up, I would just, I'd read it into a cassette. So I'd phone up Charles, and I'd read it to him over the phone, and then I'd send him a cassette. And that would be his reference. Yeah.
I have a more difficult question.
Go for it.
Are we any closer whatsoever to
untangling miracle? Not only as far as I know are we no closer, I think we're even further away, because I got some lawyer's letter from Glasgow the other day saying that a bunch of people in England have now decided that they own Miracle Man 2, or in Scotland or in England, I'm not quite sure which. So it's even more complicated than it was 2 months ago, and it was complicated then.
Did you see the action figure that Todd put out?
Bizarre, yes. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in Todd's head. I saw this interview with him that somebody sent me a quote from my website last night, where he's saying, oh, Neil and I are in discussions and everything's going to be fine. I thought, that's pretty odd. I don't think we've spoken since 2002, other than I'm now, you know, the second largest creditor in his bankruptcy due to the judgment against him. So I have no idea what goes on in his head. Well, the first directing gig that I did was John Bolt. This one, thank God I didn't get to direct. This one I just produced. And our poor director is currently back in Pinewood staring at people dangling from wires 50 feet above us. The next thing that I'm going to direct, I'm not yet allowed to talk about. It's still a secret. But it will be a series of short films for a channel or network.
Really are dancing around there.
I'm just not
you
the
did
stuff
that so well
thank
too.
You I'm not the stuff I'm not allowed to say yet, because the final things haven't been inked. But they basically, somebody who loved the John Bolton film and came to me and said, would I do a whole series of things kind of like that, but even weirder for them. So I'm pretty much looking forward to it. I think if I can, I'll keep doing everything. I love being in the position of being a kid in a candy store. My biggest frustration is that there aren't four or five of me.
Give them the work.
Thank you.
How about creating death? Where did she come from?
Death came from about five different places coming together. It started with a quote that I was creating Sandman, and I was going through books of quotations, looking at things about dreams and sleep, and I ran into an old quote from, 2,000 years ago, which was just, sleep is a brother to death.
Wow.
And I thought, cool, sleep is the brother to death. And then I thought, well, I suppose death is the brother to dream then. And then I thought, well, hang on, could be the sister. And that really was the point that it began. That character of death sort of followed immediately. Mm-hmm. At the time, I wasn't sure what I was going to have her look like. I was thinking maybe Louise Brooks, maybe Nico from the Velvet Underground. Mm-hmm. And Mike Dringenberg, the artist, had a best friend called Cinnamon, who had the long black hair and the big axe. And he did a drawing of her and sent it to me saying, you know, I think this is death. And I wasn't quite sure, except that evening, Dave McKean and I went out for dinner to a little London pancake house. And the girl who served us was this American, incredibly beautiful, with the very long dark hair, dressed all in black with a big silver aunt. And isn't it embarrassing when that happens?
Sorry,
it's all right. And Dave, I kept saying to Dave, look, I've got a drawing of her in my bed. It's her. Shall I show her the drawing? And Dave was going, no, it's embarrassing. Shut up, because we're English. So I never showed her the drawing, but watching her, and it's just this lovely, smiley person, I thought, you know, actually, yeah, when I die, I want to meet her.
Wow.
And that really was the place that death began.
Wow. And are you going to direct the movie?
That's the plan. Oh. I'm signed up for it. It's just wandered from... It started out at Warner's, and then it wandered over to New Line, and I believe now it's in the process of wandering back to New Line over to Warner's again. It has to, because Death is a Sandman related property, it has to remain within the Warner's group of companies.
Mm-hmm. I have one last
question. Well, we did a novel together, Good Omens, and every now and again we find ourselves writing things that the other one has also sort of done in a slightly different way, just because I think our minds work very, very similarly. And as Terry gets older, he gets darker, and as I get older, I seem to lighten up a bit. So we're sort of meeting in the middle somewhere.
So, I mean, not the best piece of audio.
No, but still, he covered some good stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, he covered some great stuff. If you can make out what most of the questions are, it's pretty good.
I like that you got in there and went for Miracle Man.
Everyone else is kind of like, oh, tell us about movies. And I'm like, no, let's talk about this bit of unpleasantness that we're all still unfortunately victim of.
Thought it was very funny that that he had named himself as the number two creditor on Todd's
bankruptcy
settlement. Didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of interesting information.
And a part that they actually ended with talking about Terry Pratchett and the book that they've written, that they have written together,
right?
Good Omens, which is, by the way, if you haven't read it, it's a fantastic.
Great
book. You should read it. And how that is, what they didn't say was that that is back on the movie schedule.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Apparently. And maybe they're talking to Terry Gilliam again.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
So, yeah, but last Gilliam film wasn't too great.
It was all right.
Brothers Grimm,
it was all right.
And then there was that whole Don Quixote kabocle.
Right, right.
So, don't know where it's going to go. Hope it goes somewhere. Do you know at one time, I heard this story. I might have heard this from Neil, actually, that... when Terry was attached and they were casting, that they had Robin Williams and maybe Robert De Niro.
Really?
Yeah.
As the angel and demon?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I think maybe at one point that might have been, it was definitely Robin Williams, the Robert De Niro,
right.
A little shaky. But anyway, it was apparently, it would have been this great thing.
Sure.
You know, and now I can't remember if it's Robert De Niro or not. It's going to bug me.
Well, either way.
Anyway, something good is going to come out of it, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And I'm wondering about what those little short films he's going to do are as well. That's interesting.
I wonder if it's bits and pieces from Smoke and Mirrors.
Which is what I'm hoping.
Sure.
You know, or some of the other short stories, mm-hmm. which is what I'm hoping it is, which would be great, obviously.
Sure.
But he also talked about he's going to be directing the Death movie.
Right.
Which at some point is going to happen because, again, he said it looks like we're getting closer
right.
to that. And he's producing Stardust but not directing it.
Right. I actually, I didn't realize that there was, that he had rolling around in his head other Stardust stories.
Yeah, and
that,
like
it was
he
a
said.
Prequel to a bigger story, and then there's even another little, you know.
My understanding in talking with him is that it's more... That Stardust, the novel that we know, is more the mythology sort of this universe.
Right.
That then,
it's the starting point.
Yeah, which expands into a much larger thematic work, which he swears he's going to write someday.
I hope so, because I love Stardust, and I'd love to see him write it, and I would love to see Charles Vess illustrate it.
What's up, everyone? This is Kenneth Robert Marlowe, voice actor for the anime series Gravitation and Genshiken. You have a shop that deals in toys, comic books, and other geek-related stuff? Maybe you're an artist. Perhaps you got a band you want to promote. It's a good thing to know that the Geek Stuff audience is growing week by week. Perfect place to advertise your shop, your artistry, or your band gigs. Shoot an email over to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com and talk to them about advertising right here on the show. Once again, that's bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Hello, this is Neil Gaiman, writer of lots of different things, really, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And now, back after a substantial absence, it's Angry Dan's Random Rant, and tonight, the topic is Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, are you goddamn retarded? Don't you know half the higher-ups in Hollywood are Jewish? What do you think you're doing, getting drunk and getting pulled over and then cussing off the Jews, saying, oh, the Jews caused all the wars? Man, look. I don't care what your own personal beliefs are. I know your dad doesn't believe the Holocaust happened. I know I saw The Passion of the Christ, and to be quite honest, I know, but hating on Passion of the Christ is very 2004. But guess what, buddy? You just brought it back into fucking fashion, all right? Look, everyone was kind of laying off. I was one of those Jews who was kind of like, hey, let's judge for ourselves. Let's see. And I saw your movie. I saw The Passion of the Christ. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. Did I think the portrayal of the Jews was a little anti-Semitic? Well, yeah, they weren't the cuddly little Woody Allen, neurotic, funny Albert Brooks type people that you see in movies now. Because let's face it, Jews are funny. We're lovable, man. And your Jews in that were all like, old and give us money and we'll kill Christ. And, you know, but they didn't say it in English because you had to be unique and use your own little Aramaic language, which I know isn't your own little Aramaic language. But, you know, no one fucking heard of it until you brought that shit back. And now you're coming back with this Apocalypto movie, which is filmed in Mayan or whatever language you're using now, because obviously making movies in English is just too damn simple for you. I mean, shit, you know, you did it before with Braveheart, and I guess winning the Oscar wasn't good enough for you, so you got to go make movies in other languages now. How about Lethal Weapon 4 and fucking ancient Mandarin? How about some shit like that, Mel? Come on. No, Lethal Weapon 5. You did Lethal Weapon 4 already, and there was Mandarin in that because fucking Jet Li was in it, and he didn't speak a goddamn word of English. You fuck. You snuck it in there, Mel. Shit. So, okay, so apparently you've got a problem with alcohol. Who doesn't? I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It basically helps me get along with other people. So, you gotta go drinking. That's fine. But then you get behind the wheel of a car. Not the best judgment, Mel. Then you get pulled over and you decide to sass at the cops saying, oh, I'm fucked and fuck you and I'm going to fuck you. And those are direct quotes. I mean, not in that exact way, but he basically told this cop, this officer, me, who pulled him over because I saw part of the police report on TMZ.com. He said he was saying, I'm fucked. My life is fucked. I'm going to fuck you. And then I guess when he got booked, or I don't know when, but there was a female cop there who he decided to call Sugar Tits. Mel. Not smart. I know you're drunk, but you can't be that drunk where you can't even think about what you're saying. You can't be that drunk where you don't realize it's like, oh, wait, that's right. I'm Mel Gibson. This shit isn't just going to get onto the page 36 police blotter. This is going to be on the front fucking page. So you got to go calling this female cop Sugar Tits. Not a smart move. Oh, then it's all the fucking Jews. Well, guess what, Mel? You already had strike one against the Jewish community. We're already not big fans of yours, okay? Now, I, for one, was like, hey, man, Lethal Weapon, great flicks. I liked A Man Without a Face. I'll admit it. I welled up. I shed a damn tear for your scarred, disfigured fucking face, Mel. Braveheart, kick ass flick. But then you gotta go off and you gotta piss off the Jews with Passion of the Christ. Okay, you're making your movie. That's cool. Make your art. But now you gotta go off and say the Jews started all the wars in the world? Well, I'm guessing that's your politically informed reaction to the Israeli-Hezbollah conflict going on currently right now. I got news for you. All Israelis aren't Jews. I mean, it's a safe generalization to make, but still. And there's another war going on that I don't recall us starting. It's a war in Iraq that was started by someone who's just about as devout Christian as you are, who decided, let's go invade a country, you know, just for the fun of it. You know, oh, and we'll lie about it. Those are some fucking Christian moral values right there that you and all your other right-wing buddies seem to enforce. So I tell you what, Mel, you want a war started by the Jews? This Jew is starting a war with you right now. I am challenging you to a fight. Anywhere, any place. You against me. I'm representing all the Jews, okay? I will fucking put some big-ass Jews in my corner. I'll get Bill Goldberg. I'll get... I think that's the only big-ass Jew there is. But I will get his ass in my corner and any other Jews. But I'm telling you, Mel, you and me... I am going Lethal Weapon on your ass, motherfucker. You want to talk shit about the Jews? You want to talk about us starting a war? I'm starting this war right now. I am drawing a line in the sand. You want to step over that, Riggs? You want to bring Murtaugh along with you? Come on, bring it. Bring fucking Joe Pesci, too, because I could use some comic relief right about now. This is Angry Dan. I'm ready. I'm ready for you, Mel Gibson. And you can find me performing with the sketch comedy group Cubicle at Fat Baby on Rivington Street, New York City, Monday, August 21st at 8 p.m., or at the National Comedy Theater, Sunday, August 27th at 7 p.m. Mel, I'm looking for you. Later.
And that was Angry Dan's Random Rant. Thanks, Dan.
It's so easy not to try. Let the world go drifting by. If you never say hello, you won't have to say goodbye.
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 19. There and back again.
You say it too harsh. You have to be like there and back again, like the Ralph, like the
no. Like the Bakshi.
Yeah, like
no.
The,
you do
no,
the impressions.
Not the Bakshi, not the Bakshi.
Oh,
the
other
Rankin Bass. Yeah, like the Rankin Bass Return of the King. There and back again.
You can do
a
the impression.
Hobbit's Tale.
You're a hobbit now? I didn't know.
Look at my feet.
Well, ew. So what do we talk about today? We talked about a couple of movies that are coming out. Doom Patrol, Dead Man, which you don't believe will actually get made.
Nope.
And The Spirit, which I'm looking forward to all three. I hope all three do get made.
Well, you know, I hope so too. But I have to tell you, you know, they tried to do Spirit as a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Made it as far as the pilot,
right,
which starred Sam Jones,
right,
from Flash Gordon as the Spirit, and Nana Visitor from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Well, I don't know.
It's, the side
Frank goal. Miller tied to the project to direct. It's a good start.
Frank Miller, RoboCop 2.
Anyway.
And then, of course, we went into the upcoming October release of the Definitive Sandman Volume 1.
Right.
Neil Gaiman's masterpiece, collecting the first 20 issues in an over 600-page volume, which will be beautifully designed.
Wow.
Slipcase, every bit of it overseen by Neil Gaiman, including the recoloring of the first 18 or so issues, which I'm telling you is going to be a bonus.
Well, I'm trusting you, and I'm trusting Mr. Gaiman.
And you should. And including his entire original proposal for the series and everything else. It's going to be just chock full of goody, goody, goodies.
Excellent. We then talked about Doug Jones, who was the actor that portrayed Abe Sapien in the Hellboy film, although he did not do the voice. But it looks as though he is going to be doing the Silver Surfer in the sequel to Fantastic Four.
Right, so he joins the ranks of David Prowse and
yes,
and Ray Park.
Exactly.
And guys whose voice is too shitty to actually be the character, but they can fill out that suit.
Well, we'll see what happens as
and
the
Bob
Surfer.
May. Bob May is the only there one I was thinking of. The man go. Inside the robot on Lost in Space.
You would know a lot about him, wouldn't you?
And then I went into DC Direct's upcoming Elseworlds Series 3 action figures, which includes Elseworlds Finest Supergirl and Batgirl, Red Sun, Green Lantern, and the exciting Kingdom Come Nightstar and Kingdom Come Aquaman. And like I said, the packaging for the Kingdom Come figures will be the same packaging they used in the original Kingdom Come lines, which are very beautiful and should be displayed as such.
Yep. And then we moved right into Heath Ledger.
Yup.
Why you got to knock me for?
Because I've been away.
Oh, thanks. We went right into Heath Ledger being confirmed as the Joker in the next Batman film, The Dark Knight. And the possibility of maybe the Penguin making an appearance in the film.
Are they actually calling it Batman The Dark Knight?
Yeah, Batman Dark Knight. That's it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Hmm. The title.
Well.
As it were.
I guess I can add to the fact that I don't like Heath Ledger as the Joker, the fact that the title sucks. So, great.
We'll see what happens. I have a little bit of faith in Chris Nolan after what he did with the first film.
You'd almost have to, except that, you know, that Joker thing is just a little too close to me.
Well, I know. We'll have to see. We're going to have to wait and see what it looks like.
We then got into my Neil Gaiman roundtable from San Diego, which was very enlightening on a variety of topics that Neil's involved in, including my question about where we stand with Miracle Man.
Right.
And the answer is further away than ever from actually doing anything good.
I think Neil all but said Todd is a boob.
Yeah.
In that little statement there.
I don't know what goes through Todd's head. What he said. I don't know. No, that's too much Cockney. I don't know what goes through Todd's head. I can't really do Neil Gaiman. He's got that voice that just kind of...
It's like, melodic and it flows.
Yeah. It's like a lullaby.
Mm-hmm. It's melodic.
Yeah. I love listening to him read his own stuff.
Sure. Then we moved into a subject that I really didn't want to cover. I didn't want to tackle. So we let Angry Dan tackle the Mel Gibson media debacle and his anti-Semitic behavior.
Yeah, I hate when Angry Dan gets all anti-Semitic.
I don't think Angry Dan got anti-Semitic.
Oh, you meant, oh.
Right. Considering Angry Dan, you know, a Jew.
Yeah, but, well, yeah.
Just saying, you know.
You got to point that out.
Well, you know.
You want to stay away from the racist stuff, and the first thing you do is point out that he's a Jew.
Exactly.
That's the first thing you do.
You called him an anti-Semite. I was just pointing out that he was a Jew.
Because you said Angry Dan and anti-Semitism like it was him. Just saying.
Jew hater.
See, that's just unnecessary. You're not going to turn the tide on me. Everybody who listens to this show knows who the racist is, and it ain't me.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown,
and through the merry flowers of June. Over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, my cave is where never sun has shone. By streams that never find the sea.